Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Today, tonight, is Chris Bosch night. And Mike Wallace, everyone knows the smooth operator. He was down here covering the Heat for the longest. He used to do shows with us.
Yeah.
He was everywhere. And then
one time, big man me going into the stadium.
Mike Wallace, big time dude?
Yeah,
what happened?
We were in like the media entrance. I got a ticket through the station. We're in the media entrance. We have a little line. Mike goes on the outside of the line, walks on around, gives him the Mike Wallace cool man little deuces and hits it on us.
And pretend like he didn't know you?
No, he said, what's up to me?
Oh,
but he still skipped me. Like, he's still Mike Wallace to me.
Because I got big man by Craig Minervini once.
Didn't even say nothing to
me. I waved, hey, Craig, and he walked past me like I was some adoring fan.
Let's jump him.
Mike Wallace, now he works for Grind City Media and the Grizzlies, and he's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Hello, Mike.
I like them brown, yellow, Puerto Rican, or Haitian. Name is Spice Diggy from the Zulu Nation. Told you in the jam that we can get down, so let's knock the boost like the group H-Town. Hey, man, the rejoin hyped me up, man, so I'm glad to be back on with y'all. You know I had to come in with a bang.
Look at that. We do all old-school hip-hop on Tuesdays, and you brought the lyrics strong there. That's a strong start for Mike Wallace.
Like it.
Now, we've had this debate on the show ever since the Miami Heat announced they were retiring Chris Bosh's jersey, which will happen tonight. I think he's very worthy of the honor. I love the whole Big Three era. I think he was a very important cog in that. Crowder takes issue with it. Not that he wasn't important, but that to have your jersey hanging in the rafters, he thinks you have to do more than 4 years and put up better numbers than what Chris Bosh put up. Your thought is?
My thought is, you know what? Crowder's wrong in a sense. I get it in terms of the traditional greatness. You look at all-time legends that usually have basically the standard for getting your jersey hung in Boston Garden is different from the standard to get it hung in American Airlines Arena. I mean, that's just you talking about two completely different trajectories in terms of the franchises. But I think what's symbolic about Bosch getting his jersey retired by Miami is that it's partly about Pat Riley and Mickey Arison making good on their promises that they were going to always take care of those guys that signed in 2010, no matter what happened. It also showed that the Heat has some class because it got really ugly between the Heat and Chris Bosch during that time when he had the blood clots. And, you know, it got to the Players Association and there was a whole lot of backroom bickering going on. But for it to come to fruition for them to get back to this night tonight, all of the animosity is bygone and at this point. And you're looking at a guy who contributed and sacrificed more than any other player, basically, his game to get those championships. And remember, they weren't a championship-winning team until Bosch had to sacrifice and be more of a 4-5 as opposed to playing the 4 position that he really wanted. So I think he was a key cog, and I think it's a smart thing to do. And it's the first of many that are going to go up from that era.
But, Mike, you kind of hit on what everybody else when I talk about this, and I don't think his jersey should be in the rafters, man, but the sacrifice. And then when you stay out too late and your wife gets mad at you, so you buy her a bracelet, like makeup jewelry. I don't feel like we should give Chris Bosh any makeup jewelry, bro. Oh, we had a tough time, a tough breakup. Now we're going to put his jersey in the rafters, man. Everything is always about different things he did well to sacrifice. On the court, he wasn't as big as LeBron and Wade was for that team.
No, you're totally right, Trent. It's one of those things where when you look at it, and, you know, frankly, you know, Bosch had the big offensive rebound in that game 6 when Ray Allen hit the shot, but he went 0-for in game 7. He didn't score a point in that 7th game when they won it against San Antonio for that time there. You know, he wasn't the most dominant player on any of those Heat teams. He probably wasn't the second most dominant because you can argue that some of the other role players were more impactful. Shane Battier, for instance, or Mike Miller in the Oklahoma City series where Mike Miller drained all of those threes. So he didn't. Chris Bosh never had the big signature moment that you latch onto, but it was more about the way he carried himself. I mean, I respected Chris in that locker room covering him day after day, because he was the one that wasn't afraid to be who he was. He knew he wasn't as cool as Dwayne Wade or as powerful as LeBron James, but he was fine being unique. He was fine talking about coding and playing his guitar and being just a unique, intelligent young black man in that situation that didn't have all the agents and all the power and all the swag. He was cool being sort of the nerd. And I think because he was the way he was, he became individually better friends with both LeBron and Dwayne Wade and allowed them to reach a level of greatness that, especially with LeBron, that we hadn't seen prior to that on a championship stage.
Mike Wallace is with us, used to cover the Heat for ESPN, and now he's with the Grizzlies writing about them. I was saying earlier that, you know, that number three piece on the team, while you can diminish it because it's the three piece, but when you've got LeBron and Wade as one and two, that three piece is pretty important. But I was saying watching LeBron this season in LA, I think it was never more evident how important numbers two and three are.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, when you look at, first of all, I said it from day one, and I still believe it more wholeheartedly now than ever before. LeBron going to the Lakers wasn't about LeBron winning another championship. It was about LeBron writing the final chapter of his career in a place where his other business ventures can jump off and he can still get the most money that he can get and sort of go off into the sunset, literally. He'll never win another championship, you know, not with the Lakers. I can't see it. Even if Anthony Davis goes there, what it will take for them to get Anthony Davis is going to basically deplete those guys. So he'll never have a number three guy as good as Chris Bosh was. And I don't think even when you go back, I would still say Chris Bosh was better than Kevin Love as the number three in Cleveland. And, you know, when you look at the number threes and a lot of these big threes, I mean, you had the Boston big three, obviously, with, you know, Bird, McHale, and Parrish. That's an all-time Hall of Fame classic. You know, Magic, Kareem, and Byron Scott, you know, and some of those teams. So you need that third guy. And Bosh was the quintessential third guy. And a lot of times those guys end up being Hall of Famers as well.
So we've been, you know, classifying LeBron to L.A. as almost a failure. But you're saying it can't be a failure because he didn't plan on going out there and doing much in the postseason.
No, I mean, for him not to make the playoffs this year, I think that's a big, big, big time mark against him. You know, listen, the one thing that, and people always go back to the LeBron and the Jordan comparisons, and I'm of the opinion, look, both of these guys were great. I think LeBron is clearly the greatest of his generation and of his era. Mike's the greatest of all time. So that doesn't diminish necessarily one versus the other. But at the end of the day, you know, you can't be who LeBron James is and miss the playoffs in that situation. I mean, think about it. It also makes you wonder, okay, for nine straight years, you reached the finals in the East. Your first year going to the West, you can't even get into the playoffs, and you got a bunch of teams that, like, look at the team that shares the building with those guys. You know, that Clippers team tried to get bad at the trade deadline, and they ended up getting better by default. So, you know, you look at some of these teams. Oklahoma City isn't overwhelming. You couldn't get your team better than that. So I think it does show as a single individual mark against LeBron. But I think on a grander scale, it was about much more than just basketball. So, you know, again, I don't know if he'll ever make it back to the finals in the West, right, the way it is right now.
Speaking of playoffs, so the Heat are in the 8 seed right now, and Orlando is a half game behind them, and the Heat have Orlando tonight at the American Airlines Arena, and D. Wade has been willing this Heat team to victories. You covered him in his prime down here. Are you amazed that D. Wade is doing here at the end of the season what he's doing?
I am, because when you go back to the end of those Heatles days, I mean, we all saw, you know, Dwayne was breaking down. I mean, I thought he was maybe one or two seasons away from completely being done with the knee issues that he had. And then the trade that he sort of, the free agent signing and go to Chicago and then ended up in Cleveland. And it seemed like all of those things were backfiring on him. And then for him to come back and make this right. Yes, Bosch's jersey is going in the rafters, but this season is also about, you know, Dwayne Wade making things right too, and Pat Riley and that organization coming back to one accord in terms of what Dwayne's legacy is. I'm surprised that he's able to produce the way he's producing consistently like this. He's their best player, and he's the oldest player on the roster right now. So I never thought that would be the case when you go back to 2014, 2015, when, you know, I saw him draining his knees, you know, every other playoff series, and I saw him barely able to, you know, stand at the end of some of those playoff games because of what was going on with his knees. So for him to come back 4 years later and still be this, to this magnitude for this team. We're talking about the eighth seed, but really, you know, the sixth, seventh, and eighth in the East and the ninth are all separated by a game and a half. So Miami can not only just get the eighth, they can get up as high as six if they win this game tonight and then, you know, finish off the season pretty, relatively strong.
Mike, I've asked this question to a couple people, and it's always a slow answer, so I don't know if that's good or bad, but who is the best player right now on the Miami Heat roster?
To me, it's Dwayne Wade. You know, because the thing about it is that who are you most willing to live with if they miss a game-winning shot? It's Dwayne Wade. That's the guy you want the ball in his hands at the end of every single game. Justice Winslow has turned his complete trajectory around in terms of where he was when I left Miami, his first year to where he is now. I really love the way he's improved his game. Bam Adebayo is the best center on the roster right now, despite Hassan's numbers. Obviously Josh is a really, really good player, but he's more of a role player. I think at the end of the day, when you need something done, a guy that's willing to step up and fail if he has to in order for a shot to succeed, then you got to go with Dwayne Wade, and I think he's the best guy. It's good to see you going Dragic back with, some health right now, and hopefully he can finish up as well the way he is. But Dwayne Wade is the best player on that team. I think that's the case, locally and nationally from when you're viewing it from outside.
Makes it scary for next season for Heat fans, though, because they're not going to replace it with anything. Like, they can't.
No, they're not. They're not. Yeah. They're not, unless they get aggressive in the trade market this summer, which is an option. I know Pat Riley sort of, he tried to temper some of the expectations this summer because he's looking forward to 2020, 2021. But they do have a lot of contracts that you can move for guys that are on expiring deals. There are a lot of people coming up who signed those that same offseason that Hassan Whiteside signed in 2016. A lot of other guys signed contracts that are going to be expiring as well that really hadn't lived up to those kind of contracts, Hassan included to some extent. So there are some options that they can have to unload some of those deals and maybe get back either A, draft picks, or B, some younger version of some talent that they can sort of retool and reload with without having to go complete rebuild.
Hey, Mike, have you watched any of Zion Williamson this year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I picked him up. Obviously you can't avoid him, man. He's on SportsCenter, every other day. And I've seen a couple of his games. I just saw their last game against UCF.
What's like an NBA comparison to what his game will look like at the next level? Because he's just little boys, all these kids now. What's he going to be at the next level?
You remember how Channing Crowder was at Florida? In his first year? Remember that first year?
The arrests are on the field.
when he was kicking ass on and off the field.
I got you.
But only supposed to be doing it on the field.
Yeah. But, to me, we keep trying to draw these comparisons. And even inside an NBA franchise and talking to different scouts and executives, it's hard to draw. To me, he's physically bigger. So he's Karl Malone's body, but sort of Chris Webber's college athleticism. If you go back to that Fab Five, Chris Webber was dunking on everybody. He was handling. He was passing. But Zion is, add 20 more pounds to Chris Webber's frame, and then you got Zion Williamson. And that's who he sort of reminds me of at this point. I think he's going to come in and be as physically dominant. And he's shown the ability to knock down some three-point shooting in the college level. And I think that's going to help him progress even further in the NBA. But when you're that big and you're that powerful, you wonder, can he hold up physically? We've seen LeBron basically go 16 years without getting a major injury with that kind of force. But we've also seen Amari Stoudemire and some other guys go through some tough knee injuries and foot injuries and ankle injuries. So hopefully Zion can stay healthy because he's going to be a tear once he gets to this league.
Mike Wallace, he writes for the Grind City Media and the Grizzlies. You used to read his work all the time. What was it, the Heat Index? Was that what it was called on ESPN?
Yes, sir. That's what it was.
Yeah, the Heat Index.
The Heat Index. Yep, those were the days, man.
Mike Wallace. Those four seasons, that will never be replicated, right? That's a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
It is. I mean, from top to bottom, I think it'll never happen again. The level of sacrifice, the timing of putting that roster together, the stability and the leadership that Pat Riley and Mickey Arison had, because it could have gone belly up in year two, and it didn't. So, I mean, you got to credit it was a perfect storm of everything that went into making that franchise successful. And they had it for 4 years in a row. And I think when you look back on it, a lot of guys are probably going to regret that it ended the way it did. I mean, but at the end of the day, you're seeing it come full circle, as I said before, with Bosch getting his jersey retired, Dwayne having this season that's meaningful down the stretch. And the only one that's not happy right now is probably LeBron. But You know, he's out west in the sunshine right now, so he's cool.
Man, if they had stayed together, Mike, if they had stayed together. That's got to keep Pat Riley up at night.
First the Fat Boys break up, now this.
See you, Mike. Thanks for making time for us.
All right, guys.
Mike Wallace, Grind City Media, and used to cover the Heat for the Heat Index on ESPN. We celebrate Chris Bosh on Chris Bosh Day!
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!